to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The King is coming. Jesus, the King, is coming. And he's almost here. We're about to celebrate his first coming into the world as a little baby. But we always, always need to be preparing for his second coming at the end of the age. And so we turn today to the preacher of preachers, John the Baptist, to help us. Because just as God used John to prepare the people of Israel for Christ's first coming, so he uses the preachers who follow in John's footsteps to prepare the church for Christ's second coming. Last week we met John the Baptist at the end of his ministry, in prison, awaiting execution by King Herod. He sent his disciples to Jesus to ask Jesus if he was the one that they were to be waiting for or if they should expect another. Well, today we go back in time a couple of years to when John first began to preach and to baptize, before Jesus began his own ministry by being baptized by John. Who was this strange preacher named John, living out in the desert by himself, wearing camel skin clothing and eating a diet of locusts and wild honey, who came, as it says in Scripture, neither eating nor drinking at banquets or feasts, not socializing with society at all, but leading a solitary ascetic life. We learn the most important thing about John from him today in the Gospel. John tells us, who was he? He was the voice. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Make straight the Lord's way." And in that way, John was the model for all preachers who would come after him. If you recall, John had been making straight the way of the Lord since before the Lord Jesus was even born, when the newly pregnant Virgin Mary went to visit her 6 months pregnant relative Elizabeth, John's mother. The baby John leaped for joy in Elizabeth's womb, announcing to his mother that they were even then in the presence of the Lord. Some 30 years later, John would leave his home and go out into the wilderness to continue preparing the Lord's way. His strange lifestyle and appearance and his bold preaching began to draw people out to him from all over Israel, until large crowds were gathering around him on a regular basis to hear him. Many were also baptized by him. That got the attention of the religious leaders in Jerusalem. They were supposed to be the ones in charge of the Church of Israel. But they had never sent John out to preach, and they had certainly never authorized him to perform this new sacrament called baptism. So they sent a delegation out to him to question him. "Who are you?" they asked. And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." The apostle John, the author of this gospel, is careful to point out for us John's testimony, emphasizing this strong confession on John the Baptist's part that he was not, by any means, the Christ. He was not the one Israel was supposed to be waiting for or hoping for or trusting in. "Not the Christ." Then they asked, "Are you Elijah?" "No, not Elijah." The prophet Malachi had prophesied that Elijah would come ahead of the Lord. And according to Jesus, John was that figurative prophet, Elijah. but not the literal prophet Elijah who lived some 800 years before Jesus was born and was taken to heaven alive in a whirlwind. No, John was not the literal prophet Elijah. He didn't want that kind of fame for himself. Well, are you the prophet, they asked, apparently referring to the prophet about whom Moses had prophesied way back in the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brothers. Him you shall hear. As the scriptures tell us, that prophecy of Moses was referring directly to the Christ. But the Jews at the time of John had lost sight of much of the Old Testament and didn't understand much of their own religion by that time. They thought that the prophet was apparently someone else who was supposed to come. Well, no, John says, I'm not the prophet. Again, I'm not the Christ. In every way possible, John pointed away from himself, not seeking popularity, not seeking fame, not wanting at all to be the center of attention, except for the briefest moment as people focus on a road sign telling them which direction to go to get to their destination. For a brief moment, you turn your head and look at the sign. Once it tells you where to go, you don't ever think about the sign again. You just think about your destination. Such was the prophet John pointing to Christ. His only desire was to be a sign like that. He told them, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. And we could talk about three ways in which John the Baptist made straight the Lord's way. First, he preached repentance. He preached to the Jews, but we're told that Roman soldiers also came out to hear him. He told them what God's holy law demanded of them, obedience to the Ten Commandments, to the moral law. And he wasn't afraid to point out where they had gone astray. He preached especially against adultery and sexual sins, against mistreating others, against stealing from others, against deceitful business practices. He exposed the people's sin of putting their own interests first and taking advantage of one another and even ignoring God and His desires. And he exposed the many ways they committed idolatry. Not with idols of wood and stone anymore, not in Israel, but with idols of money, idols of family, idols of tradition, idols of pride in themselves. He warned them to repent, to recognize, and to turn from their sins before God came against them in judgment. And so John made straight the Lord's way, so that the Lord Christ might come with healing and forgiveness for the penitent. Second, John baptized the penitent. Mark and Luke both describe John's baptism as a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Those who confessed their sins and those who wanted God's forgiveness and who wanted to amend their sinful lives were invited to be baptized by John, to be baptized with water as a means by which God would wash away their sins and make them ready for Christ, who would actually take their sins on himself and pay for them eventually on the cross. Third, John pointed the people of Israel toward the Christ, who was already on the earth at that very moment and was just about to reveal himself to Israel. He said, there stands among you one whom you do not know. It is he who comes after me, who has been ahead of me, whose sandal straps I am not worthy to untie. Don't look at me, John said. I'm only here for a moment to point you to him. He is the great one. He is the Savior. He is the Lord, true God and the Son of God. He is the one who remains forever and whose word does not pass away. He's the one we've all been waiting for. Hope in Him, trust in Him, and you will not be disappointed. And so John has become the model for all true Christian preachers who have come after him, so that he, through us, continues to make straight the way of the Lord in the hearts and lives of all who hear, so that when Christ comes again, he may come in deliverance for us instead of in judgment against us. First, like John, true Christian preachers preach repentance. They point out sin, the sin that dwells in your flesh and that influences your every thought, word, and deed. They preach against obvious sins and they preach against secret sins, including self-righteousness and hypocrisy. They warn you of God's coming wrath against sinners. They urge you to change your mind, which is what the word repent means, and to view sin no longer as something desirable or innocent, but as something ugly and harmful and detestable. Second, like John, true Christian preachers preach and administer baptism, God's indescribable gift to mankind, where he invites penitent sinners to wash and to actually be made clean, to be forgiven for the sake of Christ by being united with Christ in his death for sins and in his resurrection. And now we also have that other great sacrament, the sacrament of the altar, where Christ gives his body and blood together with the bread and wine for the forgiveness of sins. Finally, like John, true Christian preachers point away from themselves. They may make much of their ministry, as St. Paul also did about his, but they don't make much of themselves. They don't make much of their opinions, or their personal stories, or their degrees, or their charisma. They don't seek the spotlight for themselves. Don't look at me, instead look at Jesus Christ, the one who came, true God and true man, who suffered for you, who died for you, so that you might live forever with him. They point to Jesus Christ, the one who is now to be sought, not standing among you, not whispering in your ear, but speaking to you through the ministry of the Word that he instituted through the office of the Holy Ministry. They point to Jesus Christ, the one who is coming again, the one whose advent you should be expecting and longing for far more earnestly than any earthly success or joy or relief. So make straight the Lord's way. Make sure that you're not living in any form of impenitence or idolatry, but in daily contrition and repentance, drown the old man and let him die. And rise again as the Christians God has made you to be, to live according to the new man who follows in the earthly footsteps of Jesus, determined to live for God, to suffer for God, to live as a holy person in the world. Then you will be ready to follow also in the heavenly footsteps of Christ the King when he comes. Hope in him, trust in him, rejoice in him. The King is coming soon. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.